Reading from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. We're discussing these 25 verses where Rupa Goswami is explaining how fixed a devotee is in his relationship with Krishna, even at the level of Vaidhi Sadhana, because this chapter, this section is about Sadhana Bhakti, division number one, wave number two. And he's saying that no matter what's offered to the devotee, even to level, even a kanishtha or madhyam, with madhyam kanishtha, at the level of vaidhi, as the Lord offers him liberation, any of the four kinds or even fifth deplorable kind of liberation, suyuja mukti, the devotee's not interested. He's quite happy serving the Lord. He doesn't want more than that. So this is such an important point. The devotee is satisfied simply by serving the Lord, and he refuses to accept liberation even if it's offered to him. And then he cites verse after verse from the Bhagavatam, level, even a kanishtha or madhyam, with madhyam kanishtha, at the level of vaidhi, as the Lord offers him liberation, any of the four kinds or even fifth deplorable kind of liberation, suyuja mukti, the devotee's not interested. He's quite happy serving the Lord. He doesn't want more than that. So this is such an important point. The devotee is satisfied simply by serving the Lord, and he refuses to accept liberation even if it's offered to him. And then he cites verse after verse from the Bhagavatam. Yesterday we heard that by serving the Lord, the devotee is, he's Ananda Samudra Nimagna. Ananda Samudra Nimagna. Nimagna means he's submerged or he's immersed and an ocean of bliss, or at least a few drops. In the beginning, there's a few drops, sprinkling on our heads. But in the ultimate issue, bhakti is so pervasive and so involving that you have the experiencing that you're swimming in an ocean of bliss, nandam buddhi vardhanam. Drowning, it says, drowning in an ocean of nectar which flows from singing the Lord's glories. This is from the Bhagavatam, 8th chapter. This is the elephant. So as I mentioned, all different types of personalities that are engaged in bhakti are glorifying bhakti. Children, Prahlad and Dhruva, animals, elephants like Gajendra, demigods like Indra and Shiva, and then others, they're all glorifying this practice of bhakti. So in this verse is from the 9th canto. And this verse, Narayana is speaking to Durvasa, Durvasa Muni. Navami Sri Vaikuntha Okto Matsevaya Pratitam Te Salokya Adichat Tushtayam Nechanti Sevaya Porna Kutonyat Kalavi Plutam. Narayana is telling Durvasa something about the nature of his devotees, like Ambarish. See, my devotees, like Ambarish, are completely absorbed in my service. By serving me, they can easily attain the fruits of the five kinds of mukti, but they don't accept them. What to speak of asking for heavenly pleasures, which are sure to come in the course of time. Sure to come to an end in the course of time. I know there's one letter Srila Prabhupada wrote in reference to Jayananda. When Jayananda left his body in May of 1977, Jayananda Das was Prabhupada's disciple, a very dedicated and surrendered soul, especially noteworthy for his development of the Rath Yatra festivals in the Western countries. And he heard that Jayananda left, and then Prabhupada wrote a condolence letter to all of ISKCON, and he actually wrote it to Jayananda. It's very interesting. Jayananda was already left this planet, and Prabhupada wrote a letter. My dear Jayananda, I am so happy to have had a disciple like you, because you have rendered devotional service, but there was still something in your heart. I'm sure you have gone to the heavenly planets to enjoy for 10,000 years. And afterwards, you will take birth in a high-class family and continue your devotional practice. Suchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Brashta Bijayate. This is in Bhagavad Gita, describing about Yoga Brashta, A yogi who falls from the practice of short-term practice, then he's born in an aristocratic family, Shrimatam, very wealthy family. And if he practices a long time his yogi yogic practice or his bhajan, his upasana, then he takes birth in a Shuchi family, which means a Brahmin family. And if he's very dedicated to the Lord, then he'll take birth in a very pure Vaishnava family. So he said like this. On another occasion, he said, Prabhupada said, most of my disciples, after death, they will go to the heavenly planets to enjoy, because they have bhogicha. Bhogaishvarya prasaktanam taya participatesam. They're executing devotional service, but still, they're executing devotional service, that's a fact. Devotees are trying to serve the Lord, but at the same time, they're harboring lots of desires to enjoy. And you often see that when devotees get an opportunity, they come into some money, then they really splurge. They really enjoy. They buy the fastest of fast cars, and they get the best of best apartments. They really try to express their latent or dormant bhog samskaras, propensity, or potential to enjoy. We've often seen it. So then, Prabhupada wrote that letter, and then he heard further information about the departure details of Jayananda. And he heard that he was chanting when he left his body. He was hearing the holy name of Prabhupada being chanted on one of these endless tapes, repeating the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And he was chanting, and then it was Mangal Arti time, and right when the conch was being blown, signaling the end of Mangal Arti, Pujari came, or some assistant Pujari came with a garland, Maha garland, and draped it on the neck of Jayananda, and he left his body in this very auspicious way. And then Prabhupada wrote another letter. Oh, I see that you are remembering Krishna. I heard that you're remembering Krishna at the time of death. Therefore, you have become liberated. And then in that letter, he said, so all the members of ISKCON should celebrate the glorious departure of my wonderful disciple Jayananda Prabhu by holding a Tirubhav Utsav, just like we observe for great devotees like Bhaktivinod Thakur and Srila Rupa Goswami. Tirubhav means the disappearance festival, Tirubhav, which means some Arivas Kirtan and some Suchak Kirtan, glorification of the devotee, his accomplishments in bhakti, and his service and his realizations and contribution, and then Shobha Yatra, Nagar Kirtan, and then Vaishnava Seva, Prasad, distribution. So this is the general observance of a Tirubhav. Then in addition to that, to further memorialize his disciple in a very unique way, what they call in Christianity, they call canonizing. Canonizing means some great spiritual personality in the lineage of Jesus. If he's very great, then they make him a saint. They give him the saint category, Saint Peter or Saint Paul, etc. So then Prabhupada said, and furthermore, whenever and wherever ISKCON temples have a Rath Yatra, on the Jagannath chariot, on the Jagannath Rath, in the front of the car, they should hang one picture. They should hang one photograph, large visible photograph of Jayananda Prabhu, so that everyone in the world can see the Lord and his devotee, Bhakta Bhagavan Prem Sambandha, the loving relationship between the Bhakta, who's riding on the same cart with Lord Jagannath. Even Prabhupada, when he personally was here with us, and he would ride on the Rath Yatra carts, if there were three carts, generally there were as it developed, he would always ride on the Shakti Rath. Shakti Rath. Shakti Rath means the cart of Lady Subhadra, who is Vasudev Krishna's sister. She's the daughter of Rohini and Vasudev in Mathura. So it's Krishna's sister, Vasudev Krishna's sister. Yogamaya is his sister from Yashoda Nanda in Braj, Gokul. So Prabhupada always write on that card, under the, usually even underneath. You see, if you see the Rath, Prabhupada would make an arrangement. The Rath is there. Have you ever seen in San Francisco? The Rath is there and Subhadra is there on the top of the Rath. Then they would make a little underneath the feet, underneath, like a ground floor and a first floor. The first floor is Subhadra Maharani. Then on the ground floor below is a little area underneath the floor, Lady Subhadra's floor. They would make another floor, and Prabhupada would sit there on his singhasan or his asan, and ride in Rath. Have you ever seen? Have you seen? So Prabhupada is taking a very humble position, but his disciple, he himself as a jagat guru, Samstakacharya, he's riding on the cart of Shakti, of Subhadra, underneath her feet. And very humble, Trinada Pisanicha now. But for his disciple, he's saying, oh, you ride on Bhagavan's cart. You ride on Bhagavan's cart, and not underneath Jagannath, but you ride on the front, hanging off the platform where Jagannath is there, near right there, a little bit lower. And we've seen in Rath Yatra in Los Angeles and San Francisco and Bombay, they also do. And it's supposed to be every Rath Yatra cart. But I think a lot of people have forgotten about this letter. But so the point I'm saying is, just see the honor that Prabhupada gave his disciple. So this shows that by this example of Jayananda, and he is the only, there's only, many devotees had left their bodies during Prabhupada's time in car accidents and due to disease. But Prabhupada didn't write any letters about Tirubhav for this one or... So Jayananda was an extraordinary, a special devotee. He was really the saint, the one and only official saint of ISKCON, at least recognized or canonized personally by Srila Prabhupada, as far as I know. Do you know of another one? My godbrother, Srinanda Nandan, senior. There's no second one during Prabhupada's time. Of course, now you can say there are many saintly people and many great disciples of Prabhupada have already left the world. But at least during Prabhupada's time, he was the only one. So these type of disciples, they are so absorbed in bhakti. They're also examples of devotees that are interested in any type of mukti, the panch mukti, what to speak of the insignificant swarga mukti, which is also called mukti, although it's not the transcendental mukti. But Swarga Moksha is also often called Swarga Mukti. To rise to the heavenly planets is also considered to be a type of liberation. But this verse, Narayan is telling Durvasa, you don't understand, you're a great yogi, you're a very powerful Siddha yogi, Durvasa. And you thought that you were stronger, that you were more powerful, that you could intimidate and defeat my devotee, Ambarish. After all, he's only a Grihastha. You're a Brahmin. You're a Brahmin, yogi, tyagi, vairagi. And he's a vishayi. He's a king surrounded by women, so many queens and palaces and gold and chapan bhog and name and fame and so many followers. So surely I'm bigger and more powerful and better than him. I'm Durvasa Muni. I'm a Muni, a yogi. He's simply a paltry Grihastha, king of this world. But He could not see the depth of Ambarish's devotion. They say in English, you can't judge a book by its cover. So, looking externally, the same thing happened in Gaur Lila. Of course, it's Ambarish Durvasa Muni pastime. And that took place in, in end of Dwapara Yuga, just in the beginning of Kali Yuga. But, if you look at Gaur Lila, which is only 500 years ago, you have the personality Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Pundarik Vidyanidhi, of course, he's the Gaur Sarupa Brishabhano Maharaj, Radharani's own father. And Lord Chaitanya would address him as Bap, Bap. Bap, Bap. Bap means father. And none of the Parishads of the Lord can understand why Gauranga was calling out, oh, Bap, Bap, Bap has come, Bap has come. My father has come, my father has come. Because they thought, your father is Jagannath Mishra. And he's dead. Vishwarup left the world, took sannyas, and Jagannath Mishra died. He gave up his body. And you're saying, Bap has come, Bap has come. Go find him. Of course, it's quite appropriate. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahayanya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Radha and Krishna. So naturally, if Prishabhanu comes, then Radharani says, my father has come, my father has come. Because on one level, Mahaprabhu is Radharani. And Bahir Radha, Antar Krishna. So both are there. So this is a little esoteric. Generally, the devotees couldn't follow this. So he was actually, Bap, Bap, Pundrik is my Bap. Pundrik Vidyanidhi, in Krishna Leela, he is my father, he's Prishabhanu. So the circumstance, the situation is that Pundrik Vidyanidhi was externally appeared to be a Vishayi. Very lavish clothing, silk shirts and golden studs and diamond earrings and black wavy hair with so much amlaki oil and I don't know, hookah or whatever, but he was chewing pan, and he was looking in the mirror, admiring himself and combing his hair, and some servants. He was some type of zamindar or some takur or something. So many people fanning him, and then, who was it, Mukunda? Someone brought Gadadhar there. Who was it? I forget. I think it was Mukunda. Mukunda brought Gadadhar Pandit there because he wanted him to meet a great devotee. And then when Gadadhar, he said, oh, what is this? He's a Vishayi. So he's judging Pundarik externally. Oh, he's a Vishayi. He's a sense enjoyer. And not understanding this, then Mukunda, I think it was Mukunda Das, he wanted to illuminate the mind of Gadadhar that your judging is incorrect. You're judging things on the basis of your sense perception. But everyone knows that the senses are fallible. To err is human. We make mistakes. Imperfect senses subject to illusion. Vipralipsa, pramad. These four defects are there. Vipralipsa, pramad, brahm, etc. So, then, Mukunda Das, he recited a verse from the Bhagavatam, third canto of Bhagavatam, wherein Shukamuni is glorifying the Bhaktivatsalya of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. He's saying, Aho Bhakti, Aho Bhakti. Bhakti means Bhakasura had a sister and a brother. Agasura was Bhakasura's brother, and Putana was his sister. Very illustrious Parivar. Asura Parivar. Daivi Sampat and Asura Sampat. So this Parivar, Bhakasura, Agasura and Putana, they were a fearsome threesome. And they all three tried to come and kill Krishna. Of course, they were all defeated. So Putana, when he says Aho Bhakti, Stana Visha, he says that this Putana came with poison smeared on her breast, Stan, Visha. But Krishna did not accept that. He said, oh, you've come as my mother. I accept the milk from your breasts. I accept you as my mother. And I will make you my Datri. He promoted her to become his Datri. Means a wet nurse in the spiritual world. And so Shukamuni is saying, how great, how exalted, how amazing is this? How merciful the Lord is, how kind, how forgiving, that even a witch, a diabolical witch, comes to kill him with enough poison smeared on her breast to kill 100 men. And he overlooks all of that, and he accepts her motherly bhav. Because she had a tinge, she had a small tinge, a drop of devotion to offer herself as mother, to be the mother of Gopal. So when Gadadhar, Mukunda read this verse, and when Pundarik Vidyanidhi heard this verse, glorifying the guna, it's called guna, you can say guna, uttama shloka, gunana vadat, uttama shloka, gunana vadat. This uttama shloka, this topmost shloka, glorifying the guna of the qualities of Krishna, his bhaktivatsala, his affection and love for his devotees, or his affection and love for the jivas, even his affection and love for the demons. How merciful, how kind Krishna is. When Pundarik heard this verse, he exploded in ecstasy. He became overwhelmed. He just entered into a deep state of bhav and exhibited various anubhavs and saptik bhavs. His hair was standing in, he was choking, he was trembling, he was drooling, he was howling. He ripped his shirt off, and all the golden studs went on the floor, and he was pulling his hair out, and he started rolling on the floor. He kicked the spittoon out of the way, the a spittoon from this pond. He kicked it across the floor. Ah, my lord, Bhagavan, hey Bhagavan, hey Bhagavan. And Gadadhara Pandit, he saw this display, this intense emotional display of pure devotion. Then he felt so bad, he felt so offensive. Oh, I thought he was a Vishayi. I misjudged, I miscalculated, I made a grave offense. So then he revealed his mind. Actually, Pundarik Vidyaniti, he went in, this Bhakti Ratnakar explains, and also maybe Chaitanya Bhagavat, he went into this state, it's called Avastha Chitta. Avastha Chitta means with your chitta becomes immobilized. Avastha Chitta, he became like stunned. We might say coma. He went into what we call maybe a coma, but he became stunned for 3 hours. Maybe it was 5 hours. He just, like a trance. And the Gadadhar, everyone waited. They waited there. I guess they chanted japa or something. And then when he came to, it's called Bhayadasha. Bhayadasha, dasha, means external consciousness. When Pundarik Vidyaniti came out of this internal absorption, this spurti, this guna, this lila spurti, all these remembrances, this smaran, when he came back to external consciousness, then he looked around and said, oh, what are you looking at? why are you looking at me like this? And everyone's like, Adbhuta, they're all amazed. And then Gadadhar fell at his feet and offered pranams and held his feet and said, please forgive me, please forgive me. I've made a grave offense. What's it? Hatamati. Is it Hatamati? Elephant offense, mad elephant offense. I've offended a Mahabhagavat. Please forgive me. Please will you accept me as your disciple? He just wanted to surrender everything right there. So this is the problem with Travasa Muni. He was judging Ambarish externally. And Narayan, it took Narayan to illuminate his mind, to rectify his consideration. You don't understand. You yourself are a Muni, so much Muktivad. You're so much interested in moksha. And you're doing so much tapasya. With that in mind, you have this ambition to get mukti. But look at my Ambarish. He doesn't care anything for mukti. He has no care for mukti. And he doesn't even care to go to Swarga. And he doesn't even care about mystic powers, or you have all these yogi powers, you can take one hair out of your head and pong, throw that hair on the ground and curse someone to become a frog or anything. He doesn't care, he's happy. He's happy. Savai Mana Krishna Padaravindayora Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunaranavanarne. My Ambarish Maharaj, Saranam Ridyam Mayam Saranam Ridyatvam. He's in my heart. My Ambarish is in my heart. My Ambarish has purchased my heart. How has he purchased my heart? Narayan is telling Dravasa, do you know how he has purchased my heart? He has purchased my heart with his love. With the capital of love. With the capital of prema, he has purchased my heart. Not by tapasya, not by yogic siddhis, not by mystic powers, not by influence or a fancy show of mysticism, but by simple devotion, by keeping my feet always in his mind, Savai Mana Krishna Pad, Padaravindayor, by always remembering my lotus feet in his heart. And then whenever he speaks about my qualities, Vacham Shivai Gunarnavarnani. Guna Arnavarnana means varna, means syllables, characteristics, different aspects of my qualities. He colors his speech. Varna also means color. Guna Arnavarnane, and also means Arnava, means ocean, different ways you can break the word. So he's always, it's like an ocean is flowing from his mouth, glorifying my different qualities and different aspects. His speech is colored, varna, with a gunarna varnana, with the color of my speech, of my color of my qualities. He's so much in love with me. He can't stop talking about me. This is that so-called Vishayi king that you were worried about and offended. You've offended him. In the dust of his feet, you must take shelter of the dust of his feet, and the dust will forgive you for your aparad. So this is the example of Ambarish Maharaj. There's a whole long list here. You have 25, there's something like, 26 verses from 18 to 54 in this chapter, in the second Lahiri, where Rupa Goswami is explaining this point. Devotees of the Lord are relishing so much happiness by serving me that they don't care at all for any type of liberation. And then he lists, and someone might challenge Rupa Goswami. What do you mean? What is the example? Can you give me an example of devotees that are relishing so much happiness by devotional service, by Narayan Seva, by Vishnu Seva, that they're not interested in mukti or even swarga? Can you give me any examples, or are you just spouting at the mouth? Are you just making some statement? Can you back it up? Do you have any praman? Is there any shastra? Who are you? You're only Rupa Goswami. Why should I believe you? He says, yes, yes, I know. You shouldn't believe me. I'm only Rupa Goswami. So then he gets 26 verses which are showing the example of 26 different devotees, from children to demigods to animals and Gajendra and Prahlad and Dhruva and Indra and Shiva and Shonaka and now it's Ambarish, kings and Brahmins and demigods, all different varnas, all different ashrams and young and old, and they all have the same conclusion. What is the conclusion? Vishnu Seva is all we want. Krishna Seva is all we want. We don't want anything else. Or Kuchne. Janmani Janmani Shrade Bhavatad Bhakti Rahoiti Gitai. Bhagavad Bhakti. All we want devotion. Devotional service. Loving service to Bhagavan. Birth after birth. Nadana Najanana Sundaram Kavidam Vajagadisha Kamiye. Mama Janmani Janmani Shrade Bhavatad Bhakti Rahoiti Gitai. So, we would think that after 26 verses, we'll get the idea. We'll get the point. Because these 26 verses are taking about 10 days. Because we're not in any hurry. We have many, many years to discuss Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. As Prabhupada often said, if we understand one pad, which means one line, if we understand ek pad, ek shlok, Ardhapad, half a line of one shloka, then we can attain perfection. We'll have sufficient realization, understanding to develop the quality of Sharanagata, become absorbed in the mood of surrender. And once we become absorbed in this Dainya Bhav, in this mood of surrender, then everything becomes easy. The biggest problem is surrender. Bhukti Mukti Spriya Rideya Pishachi. There's a big couple of witches looming in the heart, Pishachi. Bhukti Mukti Spriya Ridi. They're looming in the heart, waiting to bite, or I'll say biting. Bhukti Mukti. Desires for enjoyment, liberation. They're always lingering in the heart, like a witch, Pishachi. So, next verse. This is from the 10th canto. This is the Nagapatnis. They have very beautiful prayers. Naga, they are the wives of Kaliya. And he was, of course, he had a great fortune of receiving the Krishna Charan Chinna on his shir par upar. On the top of his head, he got the immortal insignia of Krishna's charan, the imprint of Krishna's lotus feet after Krishna danced on his head in the middle of the Yamuna to drive him away from the Yamuna and stop his heinous offenses to the Brijvasis. But during that Leela, this Kaliya Daman Leela, then the Nagapatnis, they took shelter of the Lord. At first, they were upset with their husband. So they were telling Krishna, please kill him. He's not a very good person. But then they saw, actually, he's not so bad. He's getting so much. He's actually being benefited by the Lord. And he's surrendering. Now he's surrendering to the Lord. And the Lord is putting his footprints on his head. So then they started to glorify the Lord and said, actually, our husband's a good guy. Our husband's become a devotee. He's become surrendered. And if he's surrendered, and since he's surrendered to you, and he's rendering service to you, he's not trying to oppose you, he's not trying to kill you and bite you anymore, and crush you in his, he's not trying to crush you in his coils, he's not trying to bite you with his fangs and poison you, and he's not spitting out sparks of poison and fiery breath, he's actually just raising one head and lowering one head and raising one head and lowering one head, no biting, no poison, and you're just using each of his head as a movable rasamandal. Rasamandal usually stays in one place. It's a raised area where the gopis and Krishna dance on the Jamuna Pulin, the rasamandal. But his heads are movable, whereas the Ras Mandal doesn't move. So his head's going up and down, like a merry-go-round, up and down, like a horse is going around. So you're having great thrill. It's very easy to dance on a fixed surface. But if the surface is moving, then you have to be a very skilled dancer. Because the dance floor, the floor that you're dancing on, the dance floor is moving. You put one step on, the floor moves here. Then you have to be very, very expert to dance on a moving dance floor. So Krishna is Natabara. He's Natabara. Vrindavan Natabara. Vrindavan Natabara means he's the most expert dancer in Vrindavan. He can even dance on a movable stage. There are many great and expert dancers from the higher planets, Gandharvas, Charanas, etc., down to this planet. But very few of them can dance on a movable stage. So then Kali was rendering service. So then they started praying, oh, please save our husband. He's a good devotee. And he's become a devotee. So then they started, the Nagapatnis, besides offering prayers, they went into their treasure boxes. Because these Nagas, these subterranean creatures, they have access to many jewels. Many jewels are produced in oceans and rivers and even in the ground. So these snakes, they can catch those jewels. So they collect all these jewels in their treasure house. This has been a fashion of women since time immemorial. Women are always after collecting jewels, diamonds and gems, even snake women, the Nagapatnis. So they had their jewelry boxes. So somehow or other, by the arrangement of Yoga Maya, when Krishna was dancing on Kaliya, his own Kaushtubha money, Krishna's personal Kaushtubha money, which is his special gem which signifies him, identifies him, his Kaushtubha money, it fell off his neck and it went into the water and it landed in a jewelry box, in the jewelry boxes of the Nagapatnis. So in their haste to make an offering to Krishna, they reached into their jewelry boxes and they said, oh, this is very nice. I didn't know I had this jewel. I don't recognize this beautiful ruby-like. It's something like a ruby, this Kaushtubha money. I mean, of course, it's unique, but it's something like this red, very red color. So they said, oh, this looks like a very nice, one of our nicest jewels. I don't remember this, but anyway, I have so many jewels, I can't keep track of them. Women are like that. They have so many shoes and belts and things, and I can't keep track. So then the Nagapatnis, they took this Kaushtubha money, and they raised up, and they said, Krishna, please, you take this. So Krishna was so happy with their offering, bhakti prayachati. It's not what you offer, it's what's behind your offering. So it's bhakti prayachati. It's not the flower, the leaf, or the water. It's the bhakti, which Krishna is looking for. It's the devotion, the love offering. We say love offering, offering of love. So that's what Krishna thrives on. And that's what he's greedy. He's prem loba. He's greedy for prem. So they said, oh, this is the very best one of our jewels. So please, Krishna said, oh, yeah, that's very nice. Thank you. And he took it and put it back on his neck, all the while knowing that it was his gem. But what he accepted was the purity of their offering, the purity of their heart. So rather, it really wasn't his Kaushtubha money that he was wearing around his neck. He was actually wearing their love. The shine of their love, the glimmer of their love is what he was wearing around their neck. So this was what Krishna was showing. So they offered some prayers in this section of the Bhagavatam, chapter 16, which are appreciated by devotees because there's a great element of bhakti within the Nagapatnis' prayers. And they're often studied by the devotees. So they say, this is chapter 16, shloka 37. The Nagapatnis say, Nanaka prishtam nacha sarvabhomam, na paramestiyam na rasadi patyam, na yoga siddhira punarbhavam va, vachanti yatparara japrapana. O Lord, those who have anointed themselves with the pollen of your beautiful lotus feet and have surrendered themselves to the dust of your feet, they have no care for elevation to Dhruvaloka. They don't even care to occupy the post of Brahma, the creator of the 14 worlds. What to speak about aspiring over lordship of the lower planets, like Rasatala, Tala, Tala, Atala. They also do not desire to possess these astrasiddhis, supernatural powers of yoga. And they don't even want moksha. So he said, even the Nagapatnis are realizing that once one has attained the pollen from the lotus flower of your feet, they don't want anything. Vishwanath says, he points out that this phrase, this dust of the feet, the yat pada raja prapana, we say braja raj. This raj means the dust, or we say duli. Bengali, they say, or no, Sanskrit, they say duli. Go duli, braj duli. Yat pada raja prapana, right? Prapana, like Gita, Arjuna surrendered to Krishna. Shishyasute hamam shadimam prapanam, tvam prapanam. I am a soul surrender unto you, prapana. So the Nagapatnis are saying, one who has surrendered, prapana, yat pada raja, one who has surrendered to the dust of your lotus feet, what more does he want? He doesn't want anything. So Vishwanath says that this pada raja, is the dust of the feet of the Lord. What does this mean? This signifies bhakti. That bhakti is complete and absolute self-dedication to the Lord. So when one is at this stage of devotion or surrender, he accepts the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord, which means he accepts bhakti or devotion, service of the Lord, as his everything. Self-dedication. Self means atma. Atma means body, mind, and his very jiva, his very, very consciousness, is offered, surrendered at the lotus feet of the Lord, offered for his pleasure and satisfaction. This is the meaning of yat pada raja prapana. Vishnu brings this point out. So, tomorrow, Lord permits, we'll continue with this discussion. Another verse from 10th canto, chapter 87. That's the Shrutis personified. They're also glorifying the Lord.